Hey, this is Adam Mastriani, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
Stopped by with some news I thought you might be interested.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and joining me once again, that is a good old... Fuck, screwed that up. Take two. There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I am TF2M Mike, and joining me once again is that good old detective, Dave Draper. Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well as well. Yes, this is very different. This is not Star Wars, folks. He has no idea what I'm about to say.
Absolutely. I know exactly what you're going to say.
You don't.
I'll be sitting in front of the TV for like 3 hours.
Me too. Today we begin a new journey. We put our detective hats on and jump back in time with...
Which is ironic. Dude, we put on our trench coats, get out our stogies, and warm up the Peugeot. Didn't wear a hat.
Okay, he didn't wear a hat, but... Okay, fine.
You're thinking of... I can't remember his name. Oh my God, he's the most famous detective in the world. How come... Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes, yeah.
He never really wore a Deerstalker either. That was Basil Rathbone's interpretation, was the Deerstalker hat.
Fine, I'll change the next episode of Trench Coat.
So many identifiable characteristics, and you pick something he's not identified with. There's the cigar, there's the hat, there's the brown suit, and there's the Peugeot, which is French. There's the dog, which he didn't want, but like he got, you know, there's the lazy eye. It's not a lazy eye, it's a glass eye, because he had an eye removed because when he was a child because it had cancer. There's the shoes. This guy was more obsessed with shoes than Quentin Tarantino. And you pick...
I did this on the fly for this first episode. I can change it for the next one. But, you know, you put your detective hat on, no matter what detective show you're, whatever, it's just a euphemism, dude. It's fine. So, inside Studio 2009, these are, because originally, folks, I had no idea how we were going to do this. I wasn't sure. I added up all 9 episodes. It came in at it came in just over 12 and a half hours of television. And I'm like, my brain cannot anymore retain 12 and a half hours of television to talk about it as a whole season. That's why we decided on doing one episode per podcast. And then I thought, oh, maybe I should make it its own podcast outside of Studio 2009, just have a whole Columbo podcast on the network. And then I went down a rabbit hole of seeing how many Columbo podcasts are actually out there. There's like 3 really good ones, and there's like 4 really like not so good ones. So in a few moments,
like 5, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, something like that. 4, 5, 7, something.
No.
But it went right
over your Columbo hat, apparently.
Yes, it did. Yes. So I went through all of those to see about titles for a specific separate podcast. So the subtitle for this is The Columbo Files here inside Studio 2009. We are starting at the beginning and going in order. Also, for the general main source, I know Dave has the DVDs, and we will talk about the DVDs a little bit later. But for me, the main source I'm using to watch these is Tubi.tv. Very excellent source. It is free. If you have an ad blocker, you don't have to worry about ads. And in this episode, it is season 1, episode 1. It is a prescription for murder with prescription murder.
I already have to correct you.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. Because it wasn't a.
Okay.
It was a TV movie. It wasn't even the pilot. It was a TV movie based on the play.
Right.
Because it came out in 1968, which like you watch those opening credits and you're like, we are in the 60s, my friend.
Yes, we are.
But the next one was the Ransom for a Dead Man was 1971.
Yeah.
Like math is my strong suit. 3 years later.
Yeah, 3 years later. Yep.
So, like, it was not a TV show. And then, like, at some point when we get to, like, the third episode is when we get into the TV show. And then we get into the whole crazy, we're going to have to look it up on Wikipedia to explain it to people, Fakakta. because it wasn't a show, per se. There was no Columbo show. There was the mystery movie of the week.
Yeah. Yes.
And they were like, it's like Macmillan and Wife, and I can't remember what the one with the guy who was a cowboy in like the city.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a different show every week. They had a different series. You know what I mean?
Right. And I'm about to tell you about that because I just looked.
Well, that seems a little premature because right now we're just doing the play.
Yeah, but
and there's like we should talk about the play, which
yes, we will talk about the play. But no, what we watched, Prescription Murder. You're starting to, I'm not following. Anyway, so the NBC mystery movie, which we are going to do a whole podcast about this specific thing later, way, way, way later. But it had McLeod, it had Eastwood, it had Columbo, and then Macmillan and Wife were the four inaugural programs. And then it did subsequent programs with Faraday and Company, Tenafly, and then the Snoop sisters.
Oh my god.
What?
Well, no, that one faded into the mists of time, the Snoop sisters.
Yeah, starring Helen Hayes and Mildred Nadwick, Natwick. And that's the other thing, folks, outside of Peter Falk, when we do talk about the cast for these things, I mean the supporting cast,
like Jamie Lee Curtis. Is in an episode.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire cast of Wrath of Khan are in multiple, like Shatner, Nimoy, Montalban, and Walter Keating. Are in the same episode.
Walter Koenig.
He plays a beat cop.
Chekhov.
Yes.
Chekhov.
Don't you do a thing on Star Trek?
I think we do. I don't remember.
Don't you, like, because I was like, I like Star Trek, and you're like, oh, we already got something with somebody.
Well, okay, that's a behind the scenes thing, folks.
Took off my ears and just stay in my lane. I like Star Wars.
No, that's not. He's exaggerating, folks. I did not cut off his Yoda ears.
You didn't cut them off. I took them off. They were plastic. They were just plastic. And they weren't Yoda ears. They were Spock ears because Spock has pointed ears too.
That's true.
Which you would know if you watched Star Trek.
Yes. Spock versus Yoda. Who would win? Oh, God.
Now you're getting me off a tangent. I always hate these stupid who would win fight things when the characters wouldn't actually fight each other.
Obviously.
Like, why would they?
So this is Prescription Murder. Before we get into this, going back to briefly to my research of separating this off into its own podcast, part of my research was, and I very rarely do this because I don't like this platform. I just don't like Reddit at all. I don't know. Every time I've gone on there, I just my eyes glaze over and I'm like, I feel like I'm drunk and I don't drink. But I went on there to see if anyone had like podcast lists over there or anything like that or any kind of advice or whatever. And I've been podcasting for 16 years. So there's some of the stuff that I already know. But this is the advice that someone had given people on Reddit about doing Columbo as a podcast. Do the episodes in order. No crap. No shit. Discuss in detail some of the subtle things, yada, yada, yada. Don't worry about spoiling. Yeah, we're not. The stuff is over 40 years old.
Prescription Murder came out in 1968. It's older than I am.
Yeah, it's older than Dave is. So spoiling, there is not going to be a spoiler warning on this, folks. And as I mentioned before, if anyone wants to legally watch these, other than getting the DVDs, which we will talk about later because Dave has the DVDs, you can go to Tubi.tv. I will have a link directly to the Columbo page in the show notes for each of these posts. But I was just looking about how people would want a Columbo podcast, and I know how to do podcasts, so I'm not going to go through all these anymore. But it's just one of those things as part of my research of doing it. So setting the stage, like we said, 1968, Prescription Murder.
I'm still back on. There are literally two episodes that I can think of the entire run that you could spoil. Because there's one where you don't know who the murderer is. And there's another one where, like, because every episode, he he catches the killer in every episode. It's a formula.
Yeah.
And they show you who the killer is. Like, the thing about Columbo that made Columbo unique, unusual, was it was based on Crime and Punishment.
Yep.
And it was, you see the criminal commit the act, and then it's about how Columbo figures out, it's a how done it, not who done it. And so, like he always gets a criminal in the end. And, well, does he? Perhaps there's one episode where the criminal gets away. Which is a spoiler, because, yeah, the criminal gets away in one. Sort of.
Yes.
Sort of.
Sort of, yes.
Big asterisk on that one. But, yeah,
yes, he
lets the criminal get away on that one.
Mm-hmm. So, prescription murder. This is Dr. Ray Fleming, who is a psychiatrist. He murders his wife and persuades his mistress.
I mean, he persuaded her before he murdered the wife. Like,
well, right.
Because his whole shtick is that he's very meticulous. Mm-hmm. And he plans every, because there's literally a conversation between him and Columbo about this. Mm-hmm. About he plans everything, which is part of the, I think that's part of the fun, is that he's got this elaborate plan. And how is Columbo going to trip up the plan? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that's basically the general overall for this episode. Before we get into the who's who in the cast and all that, just for this episode, folks, this is the beginning of the Columbo series, the Columbo Files that we're doing on Studio 2009. We are not doing this for every episode after this. This is our history with the show, and this is the only episode you're going to hear this in. So you need to go to Studio 2009, episode 111. No, no, no.
There's going to be a quiz at the end.
No. Bueller. Bueller. Yeah. Bueller. Did you watch the show when it was on the air? I watched it in syndication after it probably was not doing new episodes, most likely, when I was a kid in the 80s.
You're younger than I am, and it premiered before. Like, the second episode we're going to do today came out the year I was born.
Yep.
No, I did not watch it when it was, quote, on the air. I think I watched some of the later, because they brought it back in, like, the 80s and 90s, and I watched some of those. And then when I was in grad school in the 90s, A&E had it in heavy rotation.
Yes, they did.
So I got really hooked in it on watching it on A&E. That and Beast Wars were my grad school programs of choice.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, just looking at this, just to clarify, folks, for the 80s, season 8 started in the 80s, February 6th, 89 to May 1st of 89. And that was only 4 episodes. And that's the other cool thing I love about these is that they are, like you said, they're plays, they're TV movies, they're almost, they could actually be theatrical movies at 94 minutes kind of thing. I love the length. I love the way that the time and the pace is. But yeah, so season 8 is what started in the 80s. And again, I'm sure because this show has 100 and something episodes, I'm sure some of the older ones were re-syndicated in the 80s and 90s. So, yeah.
I'm sure, yeah.
How much of the show have you seen now? Well, before we had this idea to do these 9 days of Columbo and the 31 days of Dark Side December here inside Studio 2009, I had already, because I've been itching to cover this. And I saw that Tubi had it, and I was like, oh, cool. And I had mentioned to you off air, I was like, crap, the website won't let me go back to the first episode because it thinks I'm in, like, season 2, episode 7. So I had already been watching before we even started the idea.
Well, I remember you were like, yeah, I'm thinking about doing a Columbo. And I'm like, put me in.
Put me in, coach. That's
right. Put me in. I love Columbo.
Absolutely. No, it's so fun and it's so cool. And there's not a show like this today. There hasn't been a show like this in...
I felt like it when it was airing. It was weird and unique.
Yeah. And it was cool.
I think you can kind of look at some of what they call the cozy mysteries that came later that were more about the personality of the detectives than the actual crimes. But even those, like, were usually whodunits. You know, like Murder, She Wrote or Diagnosis Murder or you know, but Matlock. But those were about the personalities of the ones, you know, They were almost always whodunits rather than Columbo's thing is trying to figure out what little detail the criminal's going to screw up that lets Columbo get him in the end.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And we, after this, I already know what we're doing after this. After we do, or in conjunction, once we start this fully, I definitely will do a Diagnosis Murder series on this podcast because I love Diagnosis Murder. Oh, my God. Dr. Mark Sloan. Yes, please. Thank you very much, sir. Let's see here. So Prescription Murder, I went to pull up the cast. Where is the
Gene Barry, I think, is the killer.
Yep.
That's the other thing about Columbo. You know, it's one of those shows that kind of recycle, like Murder, She Wrote, like a lot of these shows, like Love Boat. It used people who were kind of well known at the time, but also not like super huge either, or like, you know, either, and a lot of them were on the way up or maybe on their way down. Like, I don't even know really who Gene Barry is. I hate to say that, but I think he was a bigger deal in this, clearly was a bigger deal in the 60s than,
yeah,
like I said, I know who, you know, obviously Shatner is in two episodes because he's in one of the original ones and he's in one. I always split them in terms of like the original ones and then the 80, 90s ones, you know, the reboots or whatever. Now, it's not really a reboot, but when they brought it back.
Yeah. Yeah,
he plays a Rush Limbaugh character in the reboot. I call it a reboot. I'm sorry. I'm bad. But it, you know what I mean? Like the later ones, mm-hmm. But like they use the same, like they use Jack Cassidy, who's the father of the guy from Partridge Family, I think.
Yes.
They use him three times as different characters. Yeah. They use the guy who was the prisoner, Patrick McGoohan. They use him three times. Like, but they're people who, if you were in the 70s, you would know who they were.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, because you were born in 1971. I was born in 1980. Outside of Peter Falk, I knew nothing of any of these people. I know, like, I'm literally looking at the Prescription Murder cast right now.
Oh, yeah, that one is – well, no, I know the guy – you should know the guy – there's the guy who's, like, the DA, who's the buddy of the of
Ray. Oh, let me
– He's been in, like – he was in Murder, She Wrote a lot.
Was that Burt Gordon? That was the character name. Let me look this up now.
He was the lawyer guy who, like
– yeah.
I mean, he's like the only other character in the show, really.
Yeah.
In that episode.
Oh, he was
girlfriend,
in
the girlfriend, the wife, and he's one of those guys who was in a lot of TV in the 70s.
He was in To Kill a Mockingbird as Mr. Gilmer.
Wow.
He was in which is crazy to me. He was Mr. Hatfield, of the voice of Mr. Hatfield in Uncle Buck in 1989. Yeah. So, folks, the point is, we're too young to know most of the cast people that are going to be.
The sad point is, the sad thing is, I'm not.
Well, you, I mean, 71, you were born.
Okay, but I still know who, like, that guy. I know that guy from Murder, She Wrote. Is like,
oh. Well, yeah, like, we're going to know some of them. But, well, like,
once we get going, yeah. I'm gonna, like, there's the guy from Wild Wild West. Mm-hmm. There's Louis Jordan, who was the villain in Swamp Thing.
Yep.
You know, there's. I'm going to know who these. Like I said, Walter Koenig is a secondary, like Jamie Lee Curtis is a waitress in an episode. I remember watching that going, hey, is that? And then, you know, you watch the credits and like, that's Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I'm just saying for this opening play of the,
for
of the
this stuff one, yeah,
Prescription
this one,
Murder.
Well, we're everything not, about this one is a little, cause it's different. Don't you?
Yeah.
Did you feel weird watching it? Cause it's like, it's different than, because he's not really Columbo yet.
I mean, he is and he isn't. You've told me this, that he isn't really Columbo yet, and I've already started a counter for us, and I'm going to try to keep track of this. I've started a one more thing counter and a my wife counter. Anytime he says one more thing or something similar to one more thing, and anytime he references his wife, I'm going to count them up, and by the time we finish these 9 podcasts...
Wife or family. Because Jessica Fletcher. He's got a billion nieces and nephews.
Okay.
Trust me, you'll see as you go along.
But one of the notes I do have later when we get into my notes, and I'll talk about it here and not talk about it in my notes, because I wrote it down close to the end of the notes. What I noticed was in the scene close to the end where he's got what's her name? Jane. Joan. He's got the girl. in the studio, my note was, the play's the thing. The way this first episode feels, it's like we're sitting in front row at the play. Because in that scene, and in this entire, honestly, the entire episode for Prescription Murder, unless music is playing, it is silent when people are speaking. You hear, like, people will hear my fan in the background sometimes on podcasts. If they hear somebody knocking on my door, if they hear a car going, like, in 16 years of podcasting, people have heard stuff in my background. But this episode, literally, it was like they were on, like, I know they have film locations and whatever else, but literally, it felt like they were on a set-up stage, and yeah. It is just the play, and I love it. I'm saying this to say that I love that. I think that's so cool, because this is an era of television that doesn't exist anymore.
No, you're right about that.
And I absolutely love it.
Because I think the 70s changed everything. It became more method acting and more realistic rather than stagey and acting.
Yes.
I would argue, like, because one of the things I noticed, because we watched two episodes. I know we're going to talk about the other episode in a different podcast.
Yep.
But one thing I noticed immediately, the first time you see Columbo in that second episode, he's got the coat on. His tie is off to the side. His clothes are more disheveled. He's not, like, the thing about Columbo in this episode, Prescription Murder, is he's usually very kind of angry. Mm-hmm. And Columbo doesn't get angry. That's not a thing that he does usually. I mean, he does occasionally, if someone pushes him super far, he'll snap a little. But, like, he does do my wife. He talks about his wife. He has the coat. Like, that surprised me, because I thought he didn't have the coat. But he spends most of the thing carrying it under his arm. I mean, he's got all the things, all the mannerisms.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they're not, like, he's always missing a pen. Like, that was one of the things, is he can't find a pen or a pencil to save his life. But... Yeah. I he feels very different in this. You can see that he feels different in this one. Maybe not completely alien to the character, because he's setting the seeds, but he's different. Yeah.
But it's there.
It's there. I will grant you, it's there.
It's an underlying thing that he is finding the character, but the building blocks are there to what we know as Lieutenant Columbo from, and you notice he says, from the police.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep track of that as well, because I want to know if they ever actually say.
Yes, he's from homicide? Yeah, he does.
No. Oh. I know he's from homicide, but they don't say LAPD, they don't say NYPD, they don't say.
Oh, it's in LA? How do you not know? It's in LA.
Yes, it's in LA.
They literally have a shot of the Los Angeles International Airport in this episode.
Right. I understand that, and I know that, but what I'm saying is, what I love about him just saying, ma'am, I'm Lieutenant Columbo with the police, because we're supposed to know, as you're watching the episode, that it is in L.A., that it doesn't need any more description than that when he says that he's with the police. So getting into the show breakdown, this is obviously going to be overall show discussion of the episode, possible discussion topics, not everything has to be brought up, but these are usually what we do. Highlights and lowlights of the episode, favorite character moments, favorite... There really are no... This is modern TV for the time in 1968. There are no real special effects. It was all practical effects. Kind of thing. We'll talk about the pacing.
The closest thing is there's a scene in Acapulco when he's on a boat and it's like
that's the closest special effect in the film. Yeah, the boat, the plane in the next episode. Yeah, those are, yeah, but like there's no laser light swords or anything like that.
Yes, no.
This is grounded. This is detective. This is, yes. Obviously the pacing, and then favorite characters, main recurring guest, etc. So, you had told me off air that, and like you said already in this episode, you weren't sure how much of the Columbo character we know is there in the first thing. As soon as he said it, I wrote it down, capital J, capital O, capital M, capital T. Just one more thing. I was surprised that he said it in this, because I was not, you said that it probably is there.
But isn't it like, but it's different because it's a little less, like it becomes like a, like he's like usually he's out of the room. Right. And he comes back in. One more thing. Like this was literally like a casual conversational, one more thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to, ah, excuse me, sir. You know, it's like,
yeah, yeah.
Gone. It's not like, excuse me, sir. Pardon me, sir. One more thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause normally it's one of those things where the bad guy thinks that they've beaten him.
Yeah. They have that moment of,
whew. Yep. Like, whew, okay, I got Lieutenant Columbo off my back. And then I mean, sir, just one more. That's usually what it is. But that's why this one surprised me. And I love everything about this. There isn't many things that I don't like about prescription murder. That cake is a fire hazard.
I was in my head. I could imagine those sparks setting the tablecloth on fire. And oh.
That cake is a fire hazard. So Dr. Ray Fleming and Mrs. Fleming are celebrating 10 years of marriage. How old do you think the characters are? By the way, the actor and actress look, because she looks older than he does.
She looks older than he does, yes.
And he looks, oh boy, for the 60s and 70s, for it, I don't know. I would say maybe 50s.
If so, I mean, I could see it. Yeah.
I don't know, because if she's older than he is, which is fine. I'm not making a big deal out of who's older and who's younger. I'm just trying to figure out, like, if he's in his 50s and she's older, she must be in her, like, literally. Like, you look at him, her, and then his mistress looks like she's 20.
She looks like in her mid, it's the 60s, so she looks like she's in her mid-20s.
Yeah, mid-20s, early 30s, yeah.
Well, I mean, this is going to be, like, a theme through a lot of Columbos. In fact, but I realized this. You know, we might as well talk about it now. Mm-hmm. Is the idea, because I always, to be fair, rewatching it, you know, years later, you do get a different perspective. For me, it was always about the class. You know, Columbo was about class a lot more than people think it is, mm-hmm. because the killers were always rich and powerful and successful. Yeah. But what I realized watching these two, I know I keep bringing the other episode up, but that's what happens when you get themes. Yep. Is it's like the actual killer kind of isn't like they've gotten into the upper class, but usually at the expense of somebody else who ends up being the victim. Like he's rich because of his wife.
Yep.
You know,
he could use a vacation himself. You know, he's prosecuting 2 new cases next month.
Well, that's what he gets for having political ambitions. Do you remember him when he was in law school?
Vaguely.
I never saw anybody work so hard, including you.
But I didn't have to. My wife had a rich father.
And you married me for my money.
Not yours, darling. Your father's.
I like to think you loved me a little, didn't you?
Of course I did.
And, like, he doesn't want to lose that, so that's why he gets rid of the wife, so he can get her inheritance.
Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing is, and what sticks out to me, and I'm not one of these people that will say, oh my God, this doesn't hold up today. Yes, it's not supposed. I say this every podcast that I ever do. I'm looking at this in the time it was made, 1967, 1968, whenever it was made.
So there's some things that are said that made me go, whoa.
Well, the thing for me is at the party when he gets the call from the mistress that he says is the patient that he has to go check on, the wife turns to him and says, I won't allow you to leave. I'm like, whoa.
I didn't really think anything of that. I mean, it's just like I could see, you know, a girlfriend or wife going, I'm not going to let you. To me, it was just like a version of I'm not going to let you leave and embarrass me in this party.
Yeah,
it's not like she's saying I'm going to like lock you in chains, or you know.
I think
like,
it's more of how she said it and the tone and the look on her face at the shock that he would leave during their 10th anniversary party to go deal with a patient, and he just explains it away. Well, dear, I'm a doctor and my patients, and I'll be back before the guests leave, which he wasn't. But yeah.
Well, what's funny is he gets back and like he kind of he sets up his whole plan. We're going to Acapulco, and he's about to leave the room, and she's like, "Oh, sweetie," she does something, and he turns and gives this look, and it's like, "Oh God, I gotta have sex again."
Yeah. What I love is the I don't think him choking her took long enough. I think that would have taken a little bit longer.
Well, I mean, she wasn't really choked. I mean, she didn't die. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. The choking of Carol did not take long enough where she didn't die right away. Like, he should have done that longer if he really, like, because the whole time after this, he's like, wait, she's alive? Wait, she's alive? Wait, she's alive? I need to see my wife, doctor. Yeah.
What got me was she's, they say that she was found in a nightgown, but mm-hmm. she was in a dress.
Yeah, she was in a dress.
Because they were going to the airport. So that bugged me, because that doesn't track properly. Yeah, that doesn't
track. Nope. And the other thing that almost didn't track, but it does, and this is something I see in true crime stuff all the time nowadays, he went outside and broke the glass in.
Man, that glass glass was a safety hazard.
I know, right?
Taps it with that candlestick and it explodes.
Yep.
I was like, that's some candy glass, man. That is candiest of candy glass.
And I made a Clue reference here. The doctor in the parlor with the candlesticks. Even though he doesn't kill her with the candlesticks, but because the yeah, anyway. The other thing I notice about these first two, this episode more than the other one that we'll talk about, more than the second episode we'll talk about tomorrow.
Next time,
Gadget. For the first 30 minutes or so, it is all set up and it works. But we don't even see the star of the show until 32 minutes and around 25 seconds or so.
I'll get used to that, buddy.
No. I know. I'm just commenting on – I'm not going to comment on this every time. I'm just noticing how cool and interesting this is by taking 32 and a half minutes to set everything up before Columbo comes in. Now, the next episode we'll talk about, he actually comes in a lot sooner.
Yeah.
But this one was, again, really, really cool. I noticed the TWA plane. I haven't seen a TWA plane in decades. I don't even know if they're still in
business. I don't think they are.
I love the line, between the doctor and Columbo.
Expect me to be on call at all hours.
Same with me, Doc.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I think that's great.
Well, I love how they set up that Columbo pegged him immediately. It's like, you know, he didn't even call out to his wife when he came in the apartment.
Yep.
Immediately.
Yep. And I'm going to try to actually write down next to the numbers on this, but I did start the my wife or the one more thing counter doesn't need anything, but the my wife or my family counter sometimes needs context for me. But so far we've got two of those. I like how it's something so simple and little. In the hospital, when the doctor is talking to Ray and that that the last thing that Carol said was his name before she died, yeah. I love how Columbo kind of walks away, but he's still – you see him in the background just kind of walking off to the side. So he's there, but he's – It's the subtlety with this. This is why I love going back to these old shows and stuff, folks, because this is the stuff I miss in current day TV, because nobody does a television show like this anymore. And yes, I know this is a play, this is a movie, this is a whatever, but I still call it TV.
I mean, we should look at the end of the day, it was shown on TV. So, I mean, it was a TV show and it is lumped in with the first season of Columbo. So,
yep. The other thing I noticed was, when Joan comes in and Ray starts calling wherever he's calling, I forget what he's supposed to, he's dialing. And she says something about what's going on or what happened or how she forgot the gloves or something or other. And he just literally, like, he starts dialing and it's rotary phones. And this is going to be important, folks, because I took a note of this now. It's rotary phones in this episode. In the next episode, it's not. And I love that.
Well, it was 3 years later.
Yeah, exactly.
Although we still had rotary phones in the 70s. I still own the rotary. Like, we kept one of our phones, which I still own. Like, awesome. A big blue chunky thing with a rotary dial, like, that we had in the 70s. So.
Mm-hmm. So we got, this is interesting to me. I know this probably does not happen in real life, but the doctor sitting in on the interrogation of what was his name, Tommy or whatever.
The guy they brought in.
Yeah.
Confessed. Well, they did that. He never actually says that it was set up, but you mm-hmm. get the impression that Columbo set it up to do something with the Doctor. I watched it a while ago earlier today. The impression was this whole scene, that whole confession was a fake kind of. They never say that.
Yeah.
Like there was this weird sort of sense that Columbo was trying to trick the Doctor. Mm-hmm. So that's why he was there. Whereas he wouldn't normally have been. Yeah, it was weird that he was there.
Yeah. I love how Columbo's like, Doc, maybe I need to get an appointment with you. Maybe you need to figure me out. Can you figure me out? And this is where I started making notes after the wife counter. So we're at number four. She always says Columbo is too suspicious. He's a detective. Detectives are always suspicious. But yeah, I love how Ray throws in his. I think it's Ray that says, "You and your prop cigar." No, that's a real cigar, but yeah, he uses it as a prop sometimes.
Doesn't he call him a shaggy dog too? Like your little shaggy dog act. Yep. Yeah, I missed that exact line this time around.
Yeah. Yep. And the funny thing is in that whole scene with when he's talking about the prop cigar, he goes, "You know, Doc, it's funny. My wife, she prefers a pipe." it just blows my mind.
Now, here's a question, because I remember they had Peter Falk on. I used to watch Inside the Actor's Studio.
Yes.
Did you see Peter Falk was on that?
And I need to catch up with it. Yeah.
The question was, does he really have a wife? Is she real?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would always argue, I think she was real. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's one of the, not a reboot, but that's the only way I can process it in my mind.
The continuation,
Is that there's someone who tries to kill his wife. So I've always believed she's a real person. And there's an episode in The Run where he has pictures of his family. So I think some of those nieces and nephews are real.
Yeah.
But there's always a question of is Columbo's wife real or is she just a fictional device that he creates to throw these ideas out? Because if you watch when we go through the series, you realize that Columbo's wife can really pick him because the murderous actor is her favorite actor and the murderous this guy is her favorite, murderous chef is her favorite chef. And the murderous conductor is her favorite conductor. It's like, and so you kind of think, well, maybe his wife is real, but maybe she, he's kind of using her as a way to kind of get the wedge in the door kind of thing. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. But I had fun with this. What other notes do you have?
You make enough notes for everybody, so I just go along with yours, man. my thoughts were like that glass, the glass and the cake. Mm-hmm. This one, I think it's interesting because a lot of times it was interesting because this time he got the girl to basically confess to sink the guy because it's always like how he gets the guy.
Yeah,
and that was kind of an interesting little twist that there's a moment where she kind of he literally says, "I'm impressed. Like you held out against me. I thought you were going to break." And then he gets her to break by getting Ray to basically kind of admit that he's a sociopathic monster and never really cared about her. And in fact, maybe there would have been a second murder had Columbo not intervened.
Yeah.
And she overhears that. So she's the one that rats on him, which is unusual. I also liked, again, I keep bringing both episodes up, but I like that there was always this little detail that they showed and they focused on, and you think, oh, that's how they're going to trip him up, and then the killer gets it. Like in this one, it was the cloth over the TV, over the telephone.
Yeah.
Right. Like he goes back and he gets it, and then the next one, it's a briefcase that she goes back and gets. But there's always these little details that you think is going to trip him up. Nope. That's not what gets him. What got him was the weight of the suitcase. I picked up on that immediately. I was like, okay, because it's not going to weigh as much when he comes back.
Yeah. Exactly. It's going to. Yeah. It's like,
and that's one of those weird things. That back in the day, they weighed the suitcases and they charged you more if your suitcase were over your weight limit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they do that nowadays. I don't know. I don't fly much.
It's usually.
You probably just don't let you bring it nowadays.
Well, nowadays, from what I remember from flying about 4 or 5 years ago, it might have changed since COVID and all that in 2020 and whatever, but. It used to be as long as your suitcase fits in this it
They got a little metal frame.
The other thing with this one was, one thing I noticed at the end was, well, first of all, the whole twist about her not act like, when they go to her apartment or wherever she, like, she's laying by the pool or whatever, and they pick her up and put her on the thing, and they cover her up with a beach towel or whatever it is, because it wasn't a morgue cloth or anything. And I'm like, okay, this is fishy to me, because there would be more activity if she was really, really gone. And then the whole setup and the twist of she's not really gone. They set the whole thing up. But at the end,
it's a repeat of what he did.
Yeah, exactly. But at the end, he, like, all the police are around Ray. Columbo's there. Columbo kind of walks off, and Ray just stands there. They don't act like he's under arrest.
They don't arrest him. They don't drag him off.
They don't drag him off. And I'm like, wait, isn't he going to be arrested? What happened here?
I assume he was. Like, I love Columbo, but one thing that kind of, now that I'm older, sticks with me is there's no sense of follow through or resolution. Because there are a couple of episodes where, like, you feel like, I don't know if entrapment was a legal concept back then, but there are a couple that you kind of wonder if they couldn't just get off, you know, from saying, well, I was entrapped, I was tricked, I was, you know. You never really find out if they really even – it's just – they always end with them being arrested. There's never like, do they go to jail? Do they get punished? You know.
Yeah.
But in that case, like, you almost imagine like a Naked Gun kind of thing where he just kind of like looks to the left, looks to the right, and just makes a run for it.
So entrapment, at least the etymology of the word, has been around since 1828.
I didn't mean the concept. I meant legally
– Right. I know. That's what I was looking for. But the only date I can see here is the etymology of the actual word. But yes, I know what you meant. Yeah, so that ends that. And yeah, I was just kind of like scratching my head. I'm like, okay, so that's it. That's cool. I had fun. It was awesome. As I mentioned before, folks, you can find this on Tubi.tv. The link will be in the show notes of the podcast. Dave has the DVDs. You have all the volumes. You don't have the complete series set, but you have the individual volumes, correct?
Yeah, yes.
But you have them all. Yeah.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
Like, I've got all the original run, and then I think I've got all the later runs.
Very cool, very cool. And I love how this just kind of starts. The way that this starts, the way that the next episode starts, I love how they, essentially, like we've said, they're mini movies. It's not your standard TV show that has an opening TV. It's not Knight Rider. It's not Airwolf. It's not A-Team. It's not Magnum P.I. It's not MacGyver. And this is why I love how different this is compared to all other television shows since this, is you're sitting at home watching a mini movie we had color TV back then, on your color television, and it feels like literally I've sat here today watching both of these episodes so we could do these first 2 days of this podcast, that series here. And I'm like, I went to the movies twice today. Just the way these are presented, and I absolutely love it. I think it's great.
Well, I mean, I think, again, another thing that makes Prescription Murder a little different is that it's got an opening. Because I think the later ones have the mystery movie opening, which doesn't get included in, like, a lot of the rebroadcasts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it just, you immediately cut into Peter Falk as Columbo, and the music's playing, and, like, you're already into the action. As opposed to, like, you know, because, like, Airwolf, like, all these other shows you listed have an opening credit sequence.
Yep.
And Columbo did, too. It was the mystery movie. Which they parodied once on Simpsons.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah. All right, folks. We are going to get to how the show stacked up. Did the show keep your interest throughout? Of course. I love this stuff. This was great. I got up once to refill my water, but that was it.
I mean, I think this one in particular, because I think I'd oversold it, but was different. And I knew it was different than the quote traditional classic Columbo. So mm-hmm. I was paying more attention. And I was surprised at how much of the seeds of what would come were there. Mm-hmm. You know. But I was probably paying a little more attention because it is a little different. It both sets the pattern and is slightly different than the pattern, as mm-hmm. a pilot often is. So yeah, I was paying a little more attention this time around, even though I've seen this, like this one and then the next one we're going to talk about, were not, as far as I know, in heavy rotation on A&E back in the day. Like I think I saw them once during my A&E watching heyday, and I was like, whoa, this one's weird. I've never seen this one before.
Yeah, that's the same thing for me. I think I had only seen these once at the time.
So yeah, I was paying a little because we're doing this for a thing. I was paying more attention than I normally would. Mm-hmm. It's all about like, particularly as we go along, it'll be more about the character and it, mm-hmm. like and his tics and what he's doing. And you're always mm-hmm. trying to like see. Like when he kind of like when things click in his head and what he notices and yeah, it rewards attention to detail.
Yeah, absolutely. Are we itching to watch the next episode now? Yes, just freaking yes. Like give me all of this all at once, please. Yes, absolutely. Would we recommend this show to? Absolutely. If you are looking for an old detective type TV type show that isn't modern day stuff, heck yeah. I didn't have too many negatives on this, getting into our geek meter rating system here. I will say that there are some things in this that might trigger people, but probably not as much as it might. I don't know. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. I really dug it. It's probably not the best one, but it's like, if I'm writing down mostly positive notes, there's no way I can give this a bad grade.
Yeah, I think 4 out of 5 is a fair rating because to me it does feel different. Mm-hmm. And I you know once we get into the more traditional Columbo, you know I'm going to relax more and have a little more fun. So it was I think 4 out of 5 is because there were one or two comments and I can't even remember if it was this one or the next one. Mm. There were a couple of things that were very kind of their time.
Yep.
That made me go, whoa. Because there's a line about women. I can't remember which one it was, but like I was just like, whoa, hey, that ain't gonna fly.
Yeah, it might have been both of them. There might be lines in both. Because yeah. I don't remember. Yeah.
You know, it is a 4 out of 5. I don't really have anything other than looking back at it with 2025 eyes and being critical of stuff, there's nothing to knock. I mean, it was the thing that spawned a legacy. It spawned a classic, iconic TV character.
Absolutely. The only other thing I will mention is that in Peter Falk acting history, his whole acting debut, or his whole acting career. He debuted in 1957 in one episode of Robert Montgomery Presents. I have no idea what that is. And then where I saw him after I had seen Columbo, but this actually happened before Columbo. So I saw it in the mid-90s. He was the third cab driver. In 1963's It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Now, keep in mind, folks, as a kid of the 80s watching Columbo, when I saw him, my first thought was, he retired and became a taxi driver. Even though I know that It's a Mad, 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 Mad World was 1963 and Columbo wasn't until 1968. But because I saw them backwards of each other, I was like, oh, cool.
He also was in I can't remember the character he spoofed, but he was in a I think it was Neil Simon movie called Murder by Death, which made fun of all like the Agatha Christie characters and mm-hmm. you know, and I think he was Philip Marlowe, like not, he wasn't Philip Marlowe, but he was the Philip Marlowe archetype character.
Okay,
I believe. Don't hold me to that. No cancel I. Yeah, and, like Mrs. Marpo and Hercule Poirot, and I mean, they weren't those characters. They were parody versions of them, mm-hmm. and they were pitted against. They were brought to a mysterious mansion like Clue, and mm-hmm. like, you basically kind of jerked around. And he, I believe he played the Philip Mahler character because he's, you know.
Yeah, I will have to look that up fully later because I don't see it right now at this moment. What I do see, though, in 1981, something that we're going to get to next year, folks, in 2025, he was uncredited as the tramp in The Great Muppet Caper.
Yeah, I knew that.
And he was also himself uncredited in the music video of Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr.
I don't remember that, but yeah, I believe it. I'm not.
Yeah. It's the music video of the song.
I'm aware it's a music video of the song, and I'm aware that they have a lot of celebrities doing the Ghostbusters. It's just I don't even remember the last time I saw that video. I mean, it was probably still the Reagan administration when I actually watched that video.
Jeez, it was like 2 years ago when I saw it. Okay. I listen to the song all the time.
I listen to the song, sure, but like yeah. I actually watch the video.
Yeah,
like I watched that a lot in the '80s because there's that bit where the girl's in bed and well, okay, well, we'll skip that. No cancel.
Yeah, we'll skip that. It's okay. No cancel. The last thing he did was play Father Randolph in American Cowslip in 2009.
Okay, you're going to do everything but Princess Bride, aren't you? You're just going to
no,
get every credit, but...
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I think that's where most people who are listening to this podcast, and particularly if you're younger than a certain age, are familiar as he's the grandpa from Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. You want to know something crazy?
What?
I still have never... I've seen scenes from it. I've never fully watched the entire thing.
Wow.
Yep. Basically, what I know off the top of my head is I will taunt you a second time.
Oh my God, that is Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, whoops. See? I don't even know.
Anyway. I am literally, my hands are over my face in that shocked expression. Uh-huh. Oh my God.
Yeah. It is what it is. So, folks, I think we are going to take it to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some podcast ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show right after this.
It's true somebody tried to pull a few strings, but my superior, he doesn't like that. He gets thinking. So he said to me, he said, Lieutenant Columbo, you must be touching a sore spot, so you just keep right on trying.
For over 6 years, my guest and I have been discussing the soundtracks to our lives. I'm Jesse Jackson, and I've had hundreds of fans from around the world share their stories about the power and magic of all kinds of music. If you enjoy stories about joy, redemption, trials, and ultimately triumph, then please check out Setlisting Bruce, a Bruce Springsteen fan podcast. Remember, there is magic in the night.
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cow-horned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good Podcast. Have a little faith.
Hi, welcome to Up Nerd. What is Up Nerd? Up Nerd is a podcasting network of shows hosted by me, The Uneven Flow. People have told me I like to talk at them about a pretty wide range of topics, comics, games, movies, books, whatever, and now I'll be able to talk at you. Along with the weekly show will be two bi-weekly shows. First we have Fine You Pick, a show where one host picks a movie, then both hosts have to watch it. Then the next episode, the other host picks the movie. Each show will have a breakdown of why it is that movie was picked by that host, after which will be a discussion about what it is we just watched. Lastly, we have the show Top 3, Bottom 3. Similarly to Fine You Pick, one host picks a television series, and the next week, the pick alternates to the other host. Here, the episodes of the show are chosen by the top 3 episodes and the bottom 3 episodes, as rated on IMDb.com. Yes, this is probably the worst way to watch and review a television show, and yes, that's the idea. On our shows, I'll detail out how you can suggest things for us to watch. You can reach out and talk with the hosts and maybe even appear on an episode. I hope you'll join me for this exciting new podcast adventure. I swear we're going to make it more than 8 episodes.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Oh, one more thing before I forget.
All right, folks, we are back on episode 111. This is day 11 of the 31 days of podcast here in December on Studio 2009. Yes, I screwed up and said a Monty Python line instead of a Princess Bride line, because guess what, folks? The closest thing to Princess Bride I get is the Nickelback Deadpool thing that they did for Once Upon a Deadpool.
Once Upon a Deadpool.
Kind of prefer Marvel movies.
We are Marvel.
Yeah, but, you know, you're Marvel licensed by Fox. It's like if the Beatles were produced by Nickelback. It's music, but it sucks.
Hey, that's it. I'm done. I've had it with all this Nickelback hating, right? You think that makes you cool with the cool kids in school, Fred?
No, it just makes me right.
It doesn't.
They're overproduced, formulaic, ear garbage.
Oh, really? You know who might disagree with that? Facts. 50 million albums worldwide. 11th best-selling musical act of all time. Billboard's most successful rock group of the last decade. 6 Grammy nominations. 12 Juno Awards. Those count. 6 Billboard Music Awards. 2 American Music Awards. 1 People's Choice Award. Canadian. And a partridge in a pear tree.
Sorry. I thought we were just having fun. I didn't realize it was
You gotta say, you were nicer as a kid.
Tired of living like a blind man. Sick of sight of a sense of feeling. This is how you remind me.
That's what I figured.
Anyway, any final thoughts from you, sir, about Prescription Murder before I run through the closing?
It's a neat little film. You know, like I said, the trick is how he's gonna. I think this is probably one of the less. I mean, it is a neat little trick how he doesn't break the guy, because the Ray is a sociopath, a stone cold sociopath. But it was fun watching him kind of like work his magic on the girl and get her to turn on him, turn on Ray. So yep. I like it. It's for me, it's weird because it doesn't have that. I feel Columbo's not there yet. Like we're talking about The Siege, but I enjoyed it. I think it's, you know, obviously you got to start from the beginning. It's like you watch Encounter at Farpoint. You got to sit through that first two seasons of Star Trek to get to the good stuff. And it's not even bad. It's just not Columbo-y. He'll be much more Columbo-y as we go along, but there are. As you were right, there are more elements of Columbo there than I thought. I enjoyed it. I'm glad that we're getting to do this rewatch, this return mm-hmm. to a thing that I enjoyed. Oh my God, the 90s were 30 years ago. I'm angry that you've now made me feel very, very old.
The 80s were 40 years ago. The 70s were 50 years ago. The 60s.
Mr. Stark, yes. I don't feel well.
Oh boy, you're not the only one that's referenced that Spider-Man line to me lately. But yeah,
it's an Avengers line.
But Spider-Man says it.
That's true. Avengers.
Yes, in the Avengers. Yes, yes, yes. All right. So that's going to do it for day 11 here in Studio 2009 for the 31 Days, 31 Podcast. Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. There are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to, comment on all of our content. And as of right now, there are more things happening, but we launched a brand new store.
Oh,
you
no.
can get GCRN merch again. We had a store years ago, and we never kept up with it, whatever else. But Steve Megatron has been working tirelessly to get new merch and new store, and he found a thing. You can get mugs. You can get polo shirts. You can get collared shirts. You can get hats with, right now, as of this recording, just the Geekcast Radio Network logos on them. We are going to add more stuff as it goes along. But yeah, that will also be in the show notes. Very, very fun. Very, very cool. You can get a GCRN logo decal. You can get a GCRN gamer desk mat with our logo on it. You can get all kinds of stuff over at the GCRN store. If you want something from the Geekcast Radio Network, you can send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out in any of the podcatching clients you listen to. Apple Podcasts for you Apple people. Spotify for all you superior Android users and everything else. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network, at It's Studio 2009 for the show. I am at TFG and Mike. Dave's a hermit. He doesn't do social media. Mm. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there, as well as joining the Toy World Order fans group, which I will be posting these episodes in there once they are online and live this December. Join us next time when Dave and I will be talking about season one, quote-unquote, episode two, Ransom for a Dead Man. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Dave Draper.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
Oh, one more thing before I forget.
You contemptible ignoramus.
Yes, yes, yes. Sorry. See?
I would have let it go that you hadn't seen the movie if you hadn't, like, thrown a Monty Python thing in instead.
Well, you know,
disrespect the memory of Andre the Giant, sir.
No, I didn't disrespect. Well, if he was a French taunter, I wouldn't have to disrespect his memory.
That was Monty Python.
I know it's Monty Python.
So apparently, we need to get you to we need to do a 2-part episode: Holy Grail and Princess Bride.
I've been actively refusing Princess Bride for, like, I don't know, almost 40 years now, but we'll see.
That's like me in the Transformers movie.
You're not missing much.
Really?
Everybody
loves that fucking movie.
I love the fucking movie, too, but if you don't want to watch it, you don't want to watch it. It's okay.
Two, all, one.
Oh, thank you very much.